Sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, sing aloud unto God our strength, and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Amen. Lord be with you. And let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated our Lord's resurrection may, with the help of your grace, bring forth fruits to everlasting life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's confessional reading from Luther's Large Catechism, the third article. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Accordingly, these articles of the Creed divide and distinguish us Christians from all other people on earth. All those outside the Christian community, be they heathen or Muslim or Jews or false Christians and hypocrites, even though they believe in and worship the one true God, nevertheless do not know how he is disposed toward them. They cannot confidently look toward him for his love and blessing. Consequently, they remain in eternal wrath and damnation, for they do not have the Lord Christ, nor are they enlightened and blessed by the Holy Spirit's gifts. You see from this that the Creed is very different teaching from the Ten Commandments. The commandments did indeed teach us what God does for us and what he gives us. In any case, the Ten Commandments are written into every human heart, but the Creed no human wisdom is able to comprehend. It can be taught only by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the former teaching, that of the Ten Commandments, does not by itself make anyone a Christian. For the wrath and the displeasure of God still remains upon us because what he requires of us we are unable to do. But this other teaching, that is of the Creed, brings us sheer grace, and it makes us upright and pleasing to God because through this knowledge we get to love and delight in all the commandments of God. This is because we see in the Creed how God gives himself together with all his gifts and powers to us for our help and support in keeping the Ten Commandments, with the Father giving us all his redemptive work and the Holy Spirit giving us all his sanctifying gifts. Let this suffice concerning the Creed for our present purpose of giving ordinary people the basics without overburdening them. Then, when they have understood the substance of the Creed, they can advise further by relating to these catechism teachings whatever they learn in addition from the Scripture, and this they can constantly increase and enrich their understanding. On the subject of the Christian faith, we shall certainly have enough to preach and to learn daily for as long as we live. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them among the judgment. So far the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2. For even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So far the epistle. For the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. This morning's Gospel is the basis for my sermon. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is the hireling and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is only a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn 436. Please be seated.
Lord, if I share your love,
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
As I said a moment ago, my sermon is based upon this morning's gospel. The theme is, I know my sheep. So far, please be seated. Having heard the story of the open tomb, and having seen the presence of our living Christ, how truly we belong to the risen Christ, who calls himself the Good Shepherd. He is our Lord and Savior. Now, perhaps it's a little difficult for us to really understand the relationship that exists between shepherd and sheep. The Old Testament has many references to shepherding that shows the love and the concern of God for his people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were shepherds, Moses, and of course David. God is also called the shepherd of Israel. And best known, of course, is the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. This morning's epistle tells us you are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. But what is so wonderful about this imagery, if you will, is the tender care and the love that shepherds have for their sheep, each member of the flock. They are personally concerned about their protection, their safety, their food, and their water. The shepherd lived with his flock by day and slept near his flock by night. And this is the lovely comparison which Jesus makes of himself and his followers. And that's why he calls himself the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Christ himself makes it evident that the relationship is not that of a hireling, because a hireling does not really care for the sheep. Jesus once had understood that he is the Good Shepherd. The sheep belong to him, and he loves them, each and every one of them. Now, during the past weeks of Lent, we saw how this great love was truly shown to us. It drove our Savior to the cross, and there he bled and he died for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hirelings are afraid of the wolf. They will flee. But Jesus did not run away. But as the Good Shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. This is why you and I belong to him. Because Christ so loved us that he gave his life for us, and there can be no question that you and I are now his own. He says, I'm the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. The most significant mark of a shepherd-flock relationship is this, that the shepherd listens to the voice that the sheep listens to the voice of the shepherd. All the sheep knows his voice. We hear his voice of Jesus in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. We hear the law and the gospel, the rod and the staff of life. The voice of God is in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. The Bible is dear to us. Holy Scripture is dear to us because we recognize that it is the voice of our shepherd. That voice calls us and leads us just as a good shepherd by giving his life restores our soul. The calling voice of Jesus leads me into paths of righteousness. Belonging to Jesus means that we surrender to him. All Christians do. And that is part of being a member of his flock. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Of course, this is easier said than done. It's one thing to sit in church with fellow Christians in the atmosphere of God's house and say, I will follow you, Jesus. But it's not so easy tomorrow under the stress and the irritations of life. What we say, what we do, either for or against the voice of Jesus, is the final test for our belonging. As he gave his life for us, we now give our lives to him. We follow him. We know his voice. It's so familiar, so helpful, so important. We must follow him because we love him and because we belong to him. How wonderful it feels to belong. It gives us a sense of security knowing that we belong to him. You see, sin was the enemy that kept us out of the fellowship with God. But here is he who gave his life for us and conquered sin, death, and the devil himself. When every one of us was lost in trespasses and sins, doomed to hell with nothing that we could do or to sacrifice or to pay or to perform, God's own Son, moved by love beyond description, came and rescued us, redeemed us, and restored us to his heavenly Father. He had no sin. Even his enemies could not bring a charge against him. Yet innocent as he was, he became the most guilt-cursed of all criminals when he took your sins and mine, along with all of humanity's lustful thoughts, hate-filled words, bloody crimes, and removed them from us so completely, unconditionally, and forever, so that if only we believe in him, in God's sight, we escape condemnation, damnation. Jesus suffered as a sinner's substitute, himself assuming the sentence, the punishment, the curse, the guilt, the shedding of his precious blood for our cleansing, and dying the death of deepest agony for us, and then rising from the grave to give every believer the assurance of the resurrection and life. All of this is ours through trusting faith. It's that simple. So now Jesus says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. There shall be one fold, one shepherd. They shall never perish, and no one shall take them out of his hand. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Since our offering has been received, let us sing the first two verses of We Give Thee But Thine Own. Let us pray for our communicants, but first, let's have a prayer for both Cal and Deb Tooper, and for Jack and Jan Hack. We all know the situations that these folks are going through, especially with Jack. It looks quite serious, which it is, and we pray that through the therapies that he will be receiving, everything can be eradicated and he can get back to normal health. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace, mercy, and forgiveness on behalf of Jack and John Hack and Cal and Debbie Tooper. We want to thank you, first of all, for having brought them into the saving knowledge of Christ as Lord and Savior. Also, we want to thank you for the improvement that you have given Cal, and we pray that if it is your will, it continues. He has a long way to go, but nevertheless, there is improvement. Also, on behalf of his wife, Deb, give her the confidence and the strength to help with her husband, Cal. Now, on behalf of Jack and Jan, we know that Jack is in a very serious condition, but we pray that through the medicines and through the doctors, that you give them the ability to find out exactly how to treat Jack and restore him back to health. This is a very serious matter, but we know that your grace is even greater than any tragedy that can strike us. So we turn these folks over to your care, Father, and we are assured that they are in good hands because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly feast this morning, and keep us from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith and increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. Rise. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, and who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love for one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.